Welcome to the Compliance Perspectives Podcast. I'm Adam Turteltaub from the Society of Corporate Compliance and Ethics and Healthcare Compliance Association. I am coming to you today from Hong Kong in the office of Robert Hunt. Robert is a partner at the law firm Herbert Smith Freehills, and the two of us had the pleasure of meeting at a conference in Beijing over the summer. Robert, thanks for taking the time today.
Pleasure.
So we're going to talk in general about conducting investigations in Asia in this podcast, some of the pitfalls and tips. And my first question is, what types of misconduct are you coming across in your investigation in Asia? And sort of what are the factors that are behind that, driving that misconduct?
Sure. I mean, we are dealing with all sorts of misconduct. I think in terms of general trends, if you look at what we were dealing with a few years ago, it was mainly corruption. We're still dealing with various corruption related cases, but we're seeing more and more fraud now. Particularly, we're dealing with a number of large sales fraud cases, revenue fraud cases. And I think we will continue to see those types of cases coming up as, the economy becomes uncertain, and in particular with the China slowdown. In terms of what's driving that kind of behavior, we often see, those kind of things in turbulent economic times, people trying to hit targets at the end of a quarter, and we expect to see that going forward. Another sort of trend we're seeing, obviously, there's been a lot of press around the US enforcement actions against various Chinese companies recently. We're monitoring that very closely, and in particular to see whether or not the Chinese authorities increase their scrutiny of US companies operating in China. That's certainly a possibility. Here in Hong Kong, the big sort of theme at the moment is a big spotlight being shone on the construction industry. There's a lot of press around safety issues with public infrastructure. There's an ongoing public inquiry here, a number of criminal investigations ongoing, looking into shortcutting, fraud and the like. And that's keeping a lot of people busy here. And then just generally, there's a focus across the region on money laundering. There's been a number of inspections by FATF of different countries, including Hong Kong last year. There's been pressure on the governments to tighten up their money laundering laws. Here in Hong Kong, we've seen a number of new statutes come, put on the statute books, and we're seeing an uptick in enforcement action, and we expect that to continue.
And as you were talking about some of the issues, one of the things that struck me, I would imagine that also sanctions risk is getting to be a big issue, especially one, there's always that temptation at the end of the quarter to make the quarter by that sort of questionable sales, but given the fact that many of these issues may seem far from Asia, it's harder for people to realize that dealing with someplace like Iran may cause problems.
Yeah, no, we are dealing with a lot of sanctions matters as well, and particularly with the sanctions landscape sort of changing quite a lot over time at the moment. That's something that clients are increasingly come to us for advice on.
So what types of local laws and regulations do organizations need to be mindful of when collecting and reviewing data in Asia as they go about investigating these and many other issues?
So there's sort of several types, really. Data privacy, obviously, which I'll talk about in a minute. State secrets is a big issue, particularly in jurisdictions such as China and Vietnam. Various countries have banking secrecy legislation, like Singapore, for example, which are very strict. I think sort of the big development over the last couple of years has really, though, been in relation to the data privacy laws. We've obviously seen in Europe the enactment of the GDPR, and we're seeing Asian countries sort of follow that either by enacting data privacy legislation that they didn't already have, or strengthening it. And as a result, when companies are conducting internal investigations and looking to collect and review data, They need to be mindful of this sort of changing landscape and how it may impact their ability to conduct the investigations. Most of the countries in Asia have a sort of consent-based data privacy regime, which means that you need the consent of the employee to look at and review to collect and review emails, and that would typically be done through the employee handbook, the onboarding materials, but in some contexts you need to ask expressly for their consent before looking at any data. There are various exceptions in statutes, for example, here in Hong Kong, if you suspect fraudulent misconduct that may mean you don't need consent. One issue on the data front that we're coming across that's making investigations more difficult to navigate is the fact that companies are now rolling out bring your own device policies.
It's a problem everywhere.
And that in particular people are communicating over WeChat and WhatsApp. And typically in an investigation, we find that those are the messages that we want to see because they're most likely to contain any evidence of misconduct. Whereas sort of a few years ago, as part of a compliance investigation, you'd be able to obtain the laptops and mobile phones and BlackBerries that would be company issued. Now, typically, these devices may be owned by the employees, and the messages may not be backed up onto the company's system, and they're also intermingled with a lot of personal information because people have their whole lives on their phones. They have their bank account details, they have their family photographs, and that's all mixed up with their work emails and their WhatsApp messages. So that is making data collection and review more tricky.
Now, one of the other tricky issues is privilege. How can organizations maximize their privilege protections when conducting investigations in Asia?
So this has been another sort of topical issue, and we saw last year in the UK, for example, a very significant decision in the ENRC case. Around privilege in investigations. Here in Asia, there is a real range of privilege protections depending on which country you're conducting the investigation in. So here in Hong Kong, for example, we have a fairly broad protection under the Court of Appeal CITIC case. There is legal advice privilege, which attaches to the gathering of information by a company for the purpose of getting legal advice, which we can companies can rely on when conducting internal investigations, and they may also be able to rely on litigation privilege if there is a criminal prosecution that is contemplated. However, in countries such as China, Thailand, there is no privilege protection at all. There is very limited confidentiality protections, but essentially when companies are conducting investigations in those countries, we advise clients to assume that if the authorities come in and raid, they will take anything and you're not going to be able to assert any sort of privilege. So there really, the key issue is to be careful about the documents that are being produced during the course of an investigation and, think carefully about, sensitive legal advice that may be privileged and protected in certain jurisdictions, sending it to countries where that protection may not be available.
That's quite a thorny patch there. Now, we've talked a lot about collecting data, using data, and so forth. Then there's the face-to-face issue where you're conducting the investigation. Do you have any tips for conducting witness interviews?
Yeah, I mean, I think, the key thing when conducting witness interviews in Asia is to be, particularly sensitive to the language and the cultural issues. In terms of, investigations that we've been involved in, language issues almost always come up. Particularly if you're interviewing junior employees, they may not speak English. And so you're going to want to have someone who speaks the local language that they're comfortable dealing with in the room. Even with more senior management level employees, they may speak English, but
more comfortable,
particularly in what they perceive as being a stressful situation, reverting to their local language. Face is obviously a big issue as well. So we often give a lot of thought as to, you know, where to conduct the interview, often off-site in either our office or a hotel, as opposed to being actually in the office. And also we find that confidentiality tends to be an issue. Despite you may tell people that, you know, the process is confidential, but we quite often find that's ignored. So sequencing of interviews, thinking about how much notice is given, all of that sort of needs to be factored into the process when arranging the interviews.
So one last question. What issues can arise when there's investigations by multiple authorities? I mean, we're seeing this around the world with multilateral efforts by prosecutors from different countries working together. For example, here would be Asia, the US, the UK, you know, given both the US and the UK's stringent bribery legislation.
Yeah. So there are a plethora of issues that come up in these sort of cross-border investigations. Looking typically at sort of US FCPA actions, UK bribery actions, where the conduct has sort of occurred in Asia, you will typically find that, you know, that the local law enforcement and regulators here also become involved. And so you're ending up managing several different investigations at the same time. There you obviously need to make sure that the responses to all of the authorities are coordinated and consistent, but they may be looking at different things and different aspects. One thing that always comes up is document production. So, you know, the US regulators may be asking for documents or asking a company to produce documents that are located in China. So typically, we need to think through whether there are any local law issues that inhibit the or impact the company's ability to produce those documents. And then obviously sort of we've also found that often regulators and law enforcement in Asia don't understand or appreciate the fact that the US or the UK have jurisdiction to be looking at issues that have occurred on their patch. And so we spend a lot of time liaising with them and helping them understand other processes of other authorities. And you get questions as to, you know, what other authorities are looking at and what they've requested. But there may be secrecy provisions. So in Asia, there are quite strict secrecy provisions about what you can tell other people, including other law enforcement agencies and regulators, about what's going on with a particular investigation. So answering questions about what other people are looking at can quite often be quite tricky. So those are just some of the issues that you sort of typically come across.
And then quite substantial issues. Extraterritoriality of laws, always an area that many find vexing. Well, Robert, thank you for taking the time to talk to us today. I want to thank all of you for listening. I'm Adam Turteltaub from SCCE and HCCA saying, I hope we were able to expand your compliance perspective.